Did you read about the Equatorial Guinea women's team being banned from the 2019 World Cup for fielding 10 illegible players?
10 of them men, by any chance?
That's why I opened the story. That's why you put at least one of them were going to be a man. But...
One thing that really annoyed me last week, this isn't football related, this is rugby related. But my youngest son went to a rugby tournament last week. It was tag rugby rather than sort of proper rugby.
Hmm.
But it was mixed teams, but if girls scored, it was worth double points.
How old is he? Like 8? 9?
10.
10. That age?
Yeah.
That is a perfect example of people going, yeah, men and women should play equal sports, but they're not really equal, so let's just change everything.
So all they were basically doing was, the boys did all the running around, and the girls just hung around
just near the
top
girls.
Line. To get the ball and score.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a metaphor for sex, really, isn't it? When you're very lifting, you just hang around at the end. Oh, Jesus, that's getting me on a watch list.
Yeah, that's definitely going in. Yep. I'm a court.
Goals against. Emil Heskey, could it be 5? Yes, it is!
Frank De Boer, singing out Dennis Bergkamp. Oh, that's brilliant! Oh, that's wonderful! That is a magnificent goal!
Hello, welcome to the V2 Football Podcast. I'm Chris Lappin, and join me this week, I've got Shay Lees.
Good evening.
I'm Richard Hewitt.
Good evening.
So you can get close to your mic, this is unfair.
It's my one catchphrase and you're trying to steal it.
At least you said good morning last time.
See, if I say it like that, it just makes yours sound even more sexy.
How you doing this evening, lads?
Well, turned on now.
Yeah, so a few stories caught me eye this week before we get into our proper news. An unfortunate error in the subtitling led to Newcastle United being labelled black and white scum on the BBC Match of the Day 2 programme.
Yeah, was it by a Sunderland fan, perhaps?
No, apparently the software confused the word comma, spoken by the subtitler, and put in scum.
Comma with scum. Yeah, no, that's a Sunderland fan. I don't often say, out loud, comma, and people go, did you just call me scum? That doesn't happen very often. That's a very convenient... Did they literally think, right, what word would have made sense here? That we can say he says. Right, scone. Then he wouldn't have said scone in this situation. Literally, scone could not have possibly been said. Right, oh god, what do we put in here? Should we just put in grammar? Let's just put in some grammar there and we'll pass it off. It's fine. Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, I often by mistake refer to Liverpool as like bin dippers.
But you mean full stop.
Yeah.
So the BBC said the error was spotted and corrected immediately. So, next story, the FA chairman, Greg Clark, recently attempted to make contact with a gay professional footballer, but his attempts drew a blank, as no one was willing to speak to him in secret or anonymously.
See, here's what I'm wondering. Let's ignore the serious element of it. How do you attempt to speak to a gay footballer when you don't know if any of them are gay and none of them are willing to speak to you? Is that just talking to yourself? Or is that just sending out an email to every footballer going, are you gay, can we have a chat? Because if I got that email, I'd assume I was being, like, predated.
Mm.
I'd assume someone was, in a van somewhere, looking for me in a very weird way.
Somebody's made a false...
What did he do, go around the clubs and just drop his soap?
Apparently he was doing a tour of the clubs. That's what it said in the article. But should this still be a problem in 2017? Because I don't care if people are gay.
No, not at all.
Jokes
aside, like if somebody wants to come forward and sort of champion it, then they can do it. I think there was a rumour a few weeks ago that the old Lazio player, I think he went to Monaco, Baldy Cater. Yeah, that he'd come out, but then it was sort of dismissed.
I still think the only official out gay footballer is that Liam Davis, who plays non-league.
I mean, my perspective is I don't give a shit. I'm a bit like the Romans. So long as you're on top, you're all right. But, I mean, generally, I can understand why no gay footballers are coming out, because the odds are there's got to be a couple, just by simple numbers game.
Mm.
But you can understand why they won't, because people say, oh, they'll get abused for being gay. Fernando Torres got abused for having long hair. Fans in, you know, in a stadium will abuse any player for anything they think will get to them, in hopes of putting them off their game. They'll say Diego Costa looks like the Elephant Man. They'll literally use anything. So if they hear that a player's gay and that he's a bit touchy about it, they're going to sing songs about him being gay. That's basically just how that's going to go. His own fans will sing songs about all the other fans probably being gay in response to that and not see the irony of that kind of situation.
So Graham was lambasted for years for basically being intelligent as a sign of being gay.
Yeah, I mean, they sort of look at football and they think, oh, it's its own little world where we're still all massively homophobic. No, we're up to speed with the rest of the world. The problem is, it's one of those environments where if there is anything, even that you have unusually large feet, people will take the piss out of them for it. That's just the environment as it goes. Now, if there's a footballer who just wouldn't care about that, or would make the same jokes himself, then I think he'd probably feel comfortable with it. But I think the other side of it, and it's always worth remembering, like, let's say you've got a great player, let's take Eden Hazard. He's a great player, and by all accounts, he could easily go down as the best Belgian player of all time. He could go down as being one of the best Premier League players of all time. But if he tomorrow came out as gay, on his Wikipedia page, the first line wouldn't be he was one of the best Premier League players of all time. He was one of the few openly gay Premier League players. That's what it would be. He would be known as the gay player. His legacy becomes you were the first gay player, or you were one of the gay players. It's no longer about what you achieve on the football pitch, which, let's face it, is kind of 90% of why they're out there. So I can understand that they might be worried that it overshadows or it puts a label on them that they will not be able to shake off, because they're not going to want to be seen as a gay footballer. They're just going to want to be seen as the footballer. And it's not a case of, you know, the people who are really homophobic who are going to sit in with this label, or the people who really hate this kind of thing. It's going to be the ones who champion it. So they really can't help it. They can't escape from that. So I do think there's actually a good reason why these people aren't coming out as gay. I wish it was a sort of different situation. But until both sides, the homophobics and the people who are, you know, absolutely championing LGBT rights or whatever, until both of them can get to a point where they just don't care at all, it's not going to happen.
But when we're living in a world where players are missing matches because their legs are getting infection because they've been shaving them, i.e. that Real Madrid youngster, I can't remember his name.
Asensio.
Surely the way that we champion metrosexual men, so I just don't see that. I don't see what the big problem is. But I think only Thomas Hitzlsperger is the only Premier League or ex-Premier League player who's ever came out as homosexual. But that was after he retired, but...
Yeah, he had the benefit of his footballing legacy was tied entirely to his footballing ability rather than getting this other label. So I do think there is actually a good reason why they're not, because, and it's the same as anything, if you think about, you know, famous singers, famous actors and actresses, when they're gay, they aren't just, oh, this really talented singer, oh, this really talented actor. They're that gay singer, that gay actor, that gay actress. That's what becomes their label. It doesn't matter how talented they are, that becomes their label. And that label isn't put on them by the people who hate them, it's put on them by the people who love them. So it's even harder to just turn around and say, look, I don't give a crap about any of this, so I don't think anyone should. I don't want this label, I just want to be known as what I'm really good at. But they get stuck with the other thing, and I think for players who are really concerned about legacy, about especially things like winning trophies and so on, they don't want this label on them, they want to be known for what they're giving the pitch, which I think is completely understandable.
And the final part of this section, I've got a question for you. So why are the fans of Brazilian side Ibis Sport not happy with the club's recent form?
Because they've been all getting lots of free sex out of it.
Well, they've self-styled themselves the worst team in the world because they haven't won a game for 3 years, 11 months in Brazil's lowest division. But they've won their last three games, and it's been far from welcomed by their fans because they seem to like the fact that they're the world's worst team. So, one fan said that they're destroying our history. Fans are calling for the players to resign, saying this is a worrying situation in the long term.
Perhaps that's what the Crystal Palace is going for at the moment.
We will stop being an icon and we'll just be another winning team. It's all the coach's fault, said another fan. That's a good eye opener for people. I don't know. Why did he turn up every week and just cheer every goal that goes in? I'm not sure.
But I think that's just that's like being really happy if you're a peasant. That's like, I will do nothing to better myself. I am proud of this.
Alright, so in part two, we'll be discussing Everton and the distribution of overseas TV money. But first, it's time for the first round on the pitch. Nam's question master this week. Shane, as you won last time, I think. You can join.
Sorry, I didn't hear that. Did you say I won last time?
Yes.
Oh, I won last time. Who did I beat last time?
Hero? I can't remember.
It sounds to me, with the most stupid questions ever.
Well, did I beat you in the quiz?
Yeah, come on, let's get on.
Alright, so, Shane, do you want to go first, second?
I'll go second.
Alright, okay. So, Hero. So,
yes.
In a recent interview with Sports Keeda, Cristiano Ronaldo revealed his 11 of the best players he's played with. And Ronaldo being Ronaldo, he obviously put himself in the team. He put himself as the right winger in a formation of 4-5-1. I just wanted to name the rest of the team. Take it in turns, one go each.
Right, so, I can't see being any Sporting Lisbon players. I'll say goalkeeper wise, who's he going to pick? I'll go with the first sort of proper captain he had with him, Vigo, internationally.
No, he didn't pick Vigo. Shane?
See, I'm really torn between Van der Sar and Casillas, so I'm going to go with the one who I personally thought was better, and I'm about to get an absolute shit ton of stick for this, but Casillas?
Yes, you picked Casillas, yeah.
See, I'm as smart as Ronaldo.
Ramos has to be in there, then.
Yes, Ramos. Yep.
Rooney?
Nope.
Scholes?
Yes. He described him as a deep-lying playmaker rather than centre midfield.
So he's deep-lying.
See, if he put himself... Giggs?
Giggs, yes. He put him on the left wing.
Ramos.
You've already picked Ramos.
What other centre back is he going to have then? It's going to be either Rio or Vidic. I'm going to go Vidic.
Vidic, yes.
Okay, it's one striker, isn't it?
Yeah, he picked a 4-5-1 formation with himself as the right winger.
Now I'm really torn between Van Nistelrooy and Raul.
He's not going to pick Van Nistelrooy. He hated him.
Yes.
That's what you call. I was going to pick Van Nistelrooy.
Did you not know that about them? Eyes to one another. That's basically why Nistelrooy left United, because he had a falling out.
Let's go this round. Yeah.
Alright. I'm going to go for probably the coolest footballer on the planet, apart from Pirlo, Xabi Alonso.
Yes.
Oh, good one.
Right. So, to draw a level.
See, I don't actually ever think he was super amazing, but I don't think there's been ever that many good players in this position. So I'm going to go right back, Gary Neville.
Yes. Well done, 4-4. It's first after the first
Gary
round.
Gary Neville was one of the best in that position.
Yeah, no, Gary Neville was good, but I mean, how many really good right backs can you name? Is the point? It's hard, isn't it?
Alright, so it's the complete 11 was Casillas and goal, Neville at right back, Ramos and Vidic as centre backs. You could have Marcelo, that's one you missed.
Oh, that's obvious.
Then you had Scholes and Alonso as centre midfield. Giggs himself as wingers, and he had Ozil as another attacking midfielder. And then Raul.
Oh, wasn't getting that.
Alright, so after the first round, it's 4-4.
On the mention of Ozil, there seems to be growing sort of talk of him coming to United either in January or end of the season.
Yeah, I've seen lots of mocked up pictures of him in United shirts over the last week, all over Facebook.
I heard Martin Keown going on about it on 606, and basically just saying get rid of him as soon as possible because he's pretty in his head. He's already left the club.
Why would United sign him? I don't need him.
I don't know either. Like, on his day, he is a fantastic player, but he is also such a lazy player.
He can be such a passenger when you're a bit under the cosh.
Yeah, and is that a player that fits a Mourinho side nowadays?
Not Mourinho.
I wouldn't say you needed him at all.
No.
Could it be just Mourinho saying, we've got him?
Yeah, that's his last middle finger out to Wenger before he retires.
There was also the rumour that they want to do a swap deal with Sanchez and Draxler. It was going around earlier this week as well.
Well, so if I was Mourinho, though, I'd be going all guns for Sanchez rather than
Ozil. Was he there when Mourinho was at Real Madrid at the same time?
Ozil?
Yeah.
Yeah, he pretty much made him.
So maybe he's thinking he could get him as good as he were back then.
Yeah, I just don't want the little bugger to
me. All right, so let's talk Everton. So... Lots of people thought that this was going to be the year they're going to break into the top four. Spent £93 million in the summer, but the last 10 games they've won 2, drawn 3, lost 5. And Shane, you predicted this in our prediction show.
Yeah, I'd like to also point out we all said what good signings they're making. That was all of us who said that. I did say though, when you make that many signings of that many different kinds of players, either you all go very well or it will go absolutely terribly. So I was half correct, considering I completely hedged my bets.
They all buying a lot of players that were very similar.
Yeah, and I think it's turning out that they just didn't buy a proper striker at any point. I mean, they've kind of got the same exact problem we have at Southampton, in which, you know, they're just struggling to find goals from off top, which really, you can only depend on everyone else to get you goals so often before you end up in games where your midfield's getting battled out. You're not getting that many set plays, and those are the ones you're going to draw 0-0 or you're going to lose if your defence isn't up to it. And their defence, I like Clayton Vaines for his career. I think he's been a very good footballer. He's well past it, though. He is very much past it, and he can't do that job anymore at left back. You look at the system room. On the other side, you're thinking, oh, they've got good young players at Holgate. I don't know. Let's sign and play that absolute reject impersonator of a footballer, Cuco Martina. He is beyond crap. He wouldn't have even cut it for us when we were in League One. I'm not kidding there.
Yeah.
He's awful. I do not. When I saw they signed him, I thought, Jesus, was he just Coleman's bum boy? Did he give him sexual favours or something? How the hell has he done that? He's awful. So you've got one fullback who's just can't keep up with the pace of the Premier League anymore, and the other one who was never cut out for the league. And in the middle, you've got, you know, Michael Keane, he's a good player. Or you've got Jagielka, who's a good player. I think he's out injured at the moment. Williams, just he's almost got that, I move clubs, I move for the money, I don't really care anymore being about him. He's not half the player he was, and he just doesn't seem interested. There are so many of those players who are at a club for a really long time, move along, and then they just lose the interest and lose the passion for it. I think that's what's happened to him. As good as Michael Keane is, he's someone who needs a proper leader next to him, or someone who's going to be an absolute workhorse. And that's not Williams. That was Ben Mee, the absolute workhorse, who's proving just how good he is at Burnley at the moment. So I think Everton, they've got people saying, oh, you know, it's just that they can't score goals. They've got problems all over the pitch, because if you can't score goals, you can sometimes get away with it. If your midfield is dominating, but they're not, because they've not got enough proper passes in that midfield. They've got that Idrissa Gueye, who is good at breaking up the play. They've got Sigurdsson, who's good at shooting in the Hollywood passes. They've got Rooney, who's good at shooting in the Hollywood passes. They just don't have enough, you know, what we consider a metronome, a Michael Carrick type player, someone who just gets the ball moving. So if they had that kind of midfield, well, okay, they can dominate possession, then they're going to win games eventually by doing that. But they've got problems all across the park, because they made on paper good signings. But I think it was the point we made, which is when you're actually putting it into a team, a cohesive team unit, how does that work out? Very poorly it turned out. I would not be shocked to see Coleman go from Everton. And as much as, yes, I know as a Southampton fan, I kind of would feel a little bit vindicated if he went. It's understandable, because even when he left Southampton, we were not best pleased with him. He left us, but we were kind of, in our own way, a little bit happy to see him go, because he had just absolutely forgotten about playing youth players, which is a massive part of the Southampton way, for his entire time there. We knew it was always a stepping stone kind of thing. We bought for Barcelona, it turns out, for Everton. So it's understandable why fans are going to get pissed off him, because his heart's never really in it at the club he's at. It's always clear he's working towards something else, or he's only in it for himself, which is why I think he can quite quickly lose the faith of the fans when they see him, you know, being all mopey at the end of the game, and they know he's only really pissed off, but it's hurting his chance of getting a Barca job. He's not really actually caring, but it's doing damage to the club.
I think he's going to get found out at some point that he's actually not that great a manager.
Yeah, I think he has got a little bit of the Frank de Boers about him, in that, you know, he's done it at some clubs where it was actually quite easy to do it, And then the second thing started getting difficult, or he's actually got to go and build a team himself. That's where things become a lot more, you know, a lot more harder. The Southampton team he inherited, yes, he did improve, but we know at Southampton the managers not make decisions on signing players. We know that. It's a fact. It's done by Les Reed. He handles all of it. So he wasn't the one responsible for building a new team. And he inherited a very strong side, a side that continuously improved. Yes, he got him to go just a little bit further, but he didn't perform miracles of us by any means. I mean, he got us into what was it? I think it was sixth. Like that's not, you know, a massive step up from where we were before. So I think his improvements, he went to Southampton, and people were like, oh, they play quite good football, and it's Southampton, so it's got that feel of the up-and-coming club, the up-and-coming players, the up-and-coming managers. And I think he wrote that a little bit. Now he's at Everton where he's lost Lukaku, Barkley has gone utterly missing, he's got an ageing defence that isn't quite cutting it anymore. I think he's having to build his own squad, he's having to do things himself. And it's kind of being shown that he maybe doesn't have the depth of the top managers. You know, some managers are really good tacticians. I do think of Coman, he's a very good tactician. That was what he was always good at Southampton, was being able to understand how the game works on the pitch, be able to get results from that. Now, it's not working out at Everton because he's had to build a team, and as much as he's got the tactics, he hasn't got the team to go and do it with because he's made the mistake of not building it properly. I think he was very much in charge of that.
Didn't he make six the same year Leicester came first?
Yeah. So we had a chance to do a hell of a lot as well. We could have done a lot better than we did.
Really, in which the stars aligned and all the big teams pretty much just didn't perform.
Yeah, and I just look at him at the moment. I think you take a top manager. Let's take probably the toppest of managers, Alex Ferguson. He was a manager who could do everything that you would consider a manager to be capable of doing. Every single thing, every single side of it, he was good at. Man management, tactics, transfers. He was good at all of it. He could do all of it very well. You could maybe say he wasn't the best at any one thing, but when you're really good at everything, then it doesn't really make a difference. You'll go down as the greatest manager of all time. Too often these days, because at so many clubs, managers aren't responsible for transfers, or they're a bit more hands-off on the players, because that's more down to almost HR at these clubs, and that's quite realistic these days, actually. So I think he's been at clubs where it's either all been very easy for him to just kind of take hands off, and now he's gone to one where he's supposed to be a lot more hands-on, where he's kind of being shown, okay, if you're going to be a top manager, this is where you're going to show it. And he's kind of being exposed a little bit.
I do love sort of dropping in this, that before we had a conversation about gay footballers and stuff, and one of your first comments about an ex-Southampton player was he was a bum boy.
Well, he was a bum boy. He must have been. He absolutely must have been, because there is no other way other than sexual favours that he is getting in that team on talent. Are you kidding me? He's rubbish.
Right, so the Premier League teams have rejected an initial proposal to end the equal distribution of overseas money. So the six richest clubs, City, United, Spurs, Arsenal, Liverpool and Chelsea, want their appeals to be reflected in the income.
Yeah, I mean, I did read about this. They wanted, from the top six clubs, 35% of the income of the broadcast revenues, and then they get shared out equally after that. Mm-hmm. It isn't a surprise they got rejected, because that is basically just them going, we are the only teams that matter in this league, bow down to us and our mighty forces of wealth and footballing evil. It was sheer audacity that they thought it was in any way okay to do that, and seriously, not get the fans of these clubs utterly pissed off that they thought they were bigger than the league, because that's what that is. That's what that little conversation was about. We are bigger than this league, and if you don't come here with our demands, we could go into former Super League. I'm sorry, but you two are Man United fans. I know you can go, oh, but we bring in a lot of money, a lot of fans want to watch. I know you're going to try and make those arguments, so let's just kind of check that off quite right now. Are you not pissed off that that is just kind of a bit evil? Come on, let's get a moral hero, not a moral hero.
Yes, but I also, I'm a realist and I understand that that's what businesses do.
I think it should be, you know, how the domestic money is split up. It's like 50% is split between all 20 of the clubs, and then 25% is based on league position. And then the other 25% is based on how many games are televised. So why can't they do something similar to that with the overseas money?
Because it still has the same problem of the rich clubs get richer, the poor clubs get poorer. I mean, if we were talking about this, let's just forget
that. It's the world, though.
It is the world, but we have a system. Right, here's the thing, the difference between the world and football. Football actually has the capacity to be highly regulated. The Well, that's not really, because half the governments do not want to get involved even slightly. So football can be, if we wanted to, a bastion of how things are supposed to be done. If we had this in any other system, any other thing, if we were talking about, I don't know, let's say bankers. Let's say we're talking about bankers, and the top bankers are saying, well, we bring all the wealth into this country, so when it comes to the bonuses, we should get more. We should get more than the people at the bottom. In fact, not only should we get more, our bonuses should come off what they were getting before. If we were having that conversation right now, come on, who here wouldn't be calling them wankers today? Because we'd know that's exactly what they are. It's these people just thinking, oh, we're already powerful, so let's get more powerful. This is the shit kings did, and they all got killed for it. It is outrageous that they thought they were bigger than the league. You're not. You're not bigger than the league. You're not bigger than the sport. I know what you're saying about it being a business, and I know what you're saying about, yes, I can see what they're saying in their point, that as a business, maybe this does make sense. But this isn't a business. Bullshit, this is a business. This is a sport. Sport is not business. Sport can involve business, but it is a sport first and foremost.
Isn't the gap already big with the bigger clubs because of the sponsorship? The sponsorship they get compared to the...
There are some things that aren't helping us. Well, sponsorship is a major part of it, but then again, that is where the business side of it does come in, because unfortunately we can't turn around to them and say, you can't accept money. Because
I have
a little bit harsh.
I listened to an interview with Alan Pardew, and I'm sure he said United's training kit sponsor pays more to sponsor their training kits. I can't remember what club he was at, but whoever their first team got.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of stuff where I do agree with Hero when that is realism, because at the end of the day, if we said to these clubs, you must limit your revenue, as in you cannot bring in a certain amount of money after a point, that is just impractical. That is just being daft. That is telling business owners there that they cannot make money, which is a little bit mad. I'm pretty sure that's actually even slightly illegal. Yeah. But the problem isn't with just things like sponsorship. Yes, clubs should be able to go out and do whatever they want now. They should also be told they're absolute bastards like United with their film stuff, which just is embarrassing. I'm sorry, guys. That is utterly embarrassing, the stuff they do there. But I think the big problem is things like financial fair play, which all that does is entrench the system of the rich can continue to buy, the poorer clubs can't. The financial fair play is a joke. It's been a joke for years.
There's a difference between the rich that... And this is me getting on a United thing, that the clubs that bring in their own money in a business sense compared to those that have just got an unlimited pot due to somebody just buying them.
Yeah, no, and I do completely agree with that, but I think you'd also agree there's a difference between clubs bringing in money themselves via things like sponsorships and the league bringing in money.
In regards to the sort of the overseas money coming in, 95% of the fans that are tuning in and giving that money, who are they wanting to watch?
True, but that's not the point. The point is they're watching the league. It's not about the individual teams at that point. It's when we've had the discussion so many times on this podcast.
If those clubs went away, would they go and watch the other 14 clubs in a different league? Or would they follow those six clubs?
Probably not, but I feel like that would be a crime against football, and I hope every single chairman who ever supported that dies of fucking cancer. Without being harsh, because they are the most evil people, as far as I'm concerned, in the sporting world, even more evil than that retard co. Sorry for the lack of political correctness there, but that genuinely does piss me off beyond all recognition. I'll go back to the point about the difference between the league and the clubs, and I say this about the footballing world as a whole. We approach things when we say, who is the best league in the world? Is it La Liga? Is it the Premier League? Is it Italy? Is it Germany? We always come to the same point where people go, oh, but La Liga has the best teams. Sure, but you don't judge a league by the best teams. If you judge a league by the best teams, you might as well judge a league by the worst teams. It's all as relative. Are the worst teams in the league better than the Premier League? No, they're worse than the ones in the Premier League. What about the Bundesliga? You judge a league top to bottom. So when these people are tuning in to a league and not teams, if they were tuning in to teams and they were doing it by MUTV, then they get all the money to them. But they're not, they're tuning into the league. So money goes to the league, and it's the league top to bottom.
Are they tuning into the league or are they tuning into the team? So
I
can't see a Super Sunday match between Watford and Crystal Palace getting a huge global audience.
But that's the difference between the motivation of these people, which is they're tuning in to support their team that they're watching, and the actual what they are watching, which is they're watching the league. And let's also go with a further point, because, I'm not a big fan of when people say, oh, Britain should pay reparations for the things we gained from slavery. But let's also be honest, Britain only ended up being the country it was because we were first there, and then we kind of profited all these things and then said, hang on a second, we ain't paying this back. It's the same with this. Why are the big clubs? Why have the big clubs gotten this international support? Because these are the clubs that got the investment from super rich owners before measures came in place to restrict that. So if Man United can turn around and say, look, we're a massive club, so we should be able to get that money, I can sort of understand their point. Fair enough on a lot of cases, because they had earned a lot of their success. They didn't just get bought into it. But when Man City and Chelsea are turning around and saying, oh, we're the big ones, we're the rich ones, they just had their success bought. They only can say this now because they got bought at the right times. My dad's a Chelsea fan. He thinks this is ridiculous because he remembers when Chelsea were crap. He remembers when Chelsea weren't a big club. They were a style club. They were the equivalent of almost what Tottenham are today. They were a club that had some really fancy players and then never really won a lot, or kind of won 4-0 and then lost 4-0. So this is where I think it's all a little bit bollocks, because they're only in this position because they managed to really take advantage of the situations for time and invest this massive wealth when the other clubs couldn't do the same. And now they're just further entrenching that with things like financial fair play, and they're trying to entrench it even further by saying, we should take the lion's share. It's just them trying to detach away, to secure their top spots so that the other clubs can't get any room. And I know that makes sense from a business point of view. You want to fend off your competition. I know that makes sense. But it's a sport, and sports at the end of the day are about equal sporting opportunities. That's the fundamental base, so everyone starts at the same point. So I think that stuff like this, for me, it just goes fundamentally against sport. It makes business sense, but if we're turning around and saying it should happen because it makes business sense, then we have given up. We've said no, this is a business now, and I don't see why the hell any of us should support it any more than any of us should support Microsoft or Infosys over Tata. It's all pointless, and it's not a sport. So if we still believe it's a sport, I think we should be completely opposed to this and everywhere. Thank God it got rejected.
Do we leave that one there?
Yeah, and maybe, I don't know, bleep out.
Right, so it's time for the second round of some of the pitch. four all from the first round. Shane, you get to go first this time. So,
right.
Yesterday, the Telegraph released its 11 of the season so far. I mean, it's the name, that 11. It's in a 4-4-2 formation.
Oh, good God. Let's start with goalkeeper. That's gotta be either De Gea or Ederson. I'm gonna go with Ederson.
Ederson, yeah.
How many strikers?
It's 4-4-2.
Lukaku.
Yep.
Okay. Sergio Aguero.
No. Richard.
Oh, I'm going for Harry Kane.
Yes.
Oh, that was dumb of me, wasn't it?
It is clear there's no Southampton players.
Marcus Alonso.
No.
We haven't been watching this fucking season then.
De Bruyne.
Yes.
This is going well.
So stay in the game.
Gary Neville. Antonio Valencia.
No.
Well, I really haven't been watching. You've been great.
That's it for the win, Hero.
What's his name? Azpilicueta?
Yes.
Oh, this is bollocks. Azpilicueta has not been better than Valencia, especially if Marcus Alonso's way in there.
No, Azpilicueta's been fantastic.
He is fantastic. Valencia's been better this season.
In different positions.
Oh, okay. I'll accept that then.
Alright, so the team was Ederson in goal, Azpilicueta at right back.
Yeah, that case it is bollocks.
Bailly, the Burnley defender, Tarkowski. Is that how it's pronounced?
Tarkowski.
Monreal at left back, De Bruyne on the right, Eriksen on the left, Matic and Silva make up the midfield, and then Lukaku and Kane up front. So congratulations, Richard.
They put in Monreal over Alonso.
Yes.
Are they done?
Right to the Telegraph and tell them they're done.
Henry Winter, you knob. Well done.
Who won?
Richard Hill and Hudson won. He won a fantastic victory. I'm still right about my bloody money thing.
Congratulations, Richard. You're this week's son of the pitch. I told you you liked this week's quiz.
I did.
I didn't. They were wrong.
They were wrong. You you just play my Facebook? Because it came up on the Facebook today.
I blame Facebook for a lot. Degeneration of the modern youth. And now I lost a quiz because of them.
Right, so Catatonia.
That's how I follow the Telegraph, and I didn't see that today.
It came up on my Facebook feed, picture.
Didn't I, man?
Too busy reading The Guardian, you softie.
I do read The Guardian.
Hello, this is Bianca Westwood from Gillette Soccer Saturday on Sky Sports, and you are listening to the V2 Football Podcast.
Alright, so Catalonia is on course to declare independence from Spain after a 90% voted in favour during a referendum. Violent clashes were marred the vote, which led to Barca's clash with the Palmas being played behind closed doors. So if Catalonia were to break free from Spain, La Liga said that Barcelona, Espanyol, and there's a third team, I haven't written it down.
Girona
would be expelled from La Liga. The Catalan sports minister and Barcelona's president have hinted that Premier League could be the destination of Barcelona. So,
I don't know how they work that one out. Let's bring in a Catalonian team into the English Premier League. They might try and repeatedly tell us it's the Barclays Premier League, or whatever the hell it is now, if it's not Barclays. But it is the English Premier League. And it's not English teams.
Where's Swansea from?
They're from the Principality of Wales, that has been England for the last, 900 years. So I think we can accept them.
It's the United Kingdom.
Okay, well, at the very most, then, British bloody Isles. We can't say we expand this to halfway across Spain into what would then be Catalonia. It would make more sense than to join the French League. That would be just mental if they joined the Premier League. It would be dumb to the highest extent. Especially if they brought in Barcelona and then didn't bring in Espanyol and all the other teams and said, right, you're now in the English League pyramid. What they should do is what every other country does and make their own league. Yes, it will be crap for a lot of years because Barcelona players will be in it for a long time, but their quality will quickly decline when they get bored of playing in a shit league.
Well, Messi's already said that he would want to leave if they got expelled from La Liga.
Yeah, so that would eventually go to absolute shit for Barcelona, but then they'll just have to deal with that. Because if you can't play in a different country's league, that's obvious.
Two-hour flame flight, so it's probably quicker to get to Barcelona these days than it is to drive from Newcastle down to Southampton.
I can see in the for Barcelona that it would make sense for them. But that's just Barcelona. Like Espanyol possibly is a.
I don't watch the league of that.
Then you've got the pyramid effect all the way down.
You've got to bring them all in, surely.
Yeah, what about the team that's probably in the fourth division of Spain that plays in that area? Are they going to be having a 2,000-mile trip to Rochdale?
That's the thing I'm thinking. It's like, if they're going, maybe it'll work for Barcelona. So what, Barcelona detaches itself from the Catalan League when they're saying, what loyal Catalonians we are, just leaves them all in the dust and says, we're going off to England now where the money is. Sorry, lads, you're on your own now.
I am
quietly supporting independence.
I don't watch La Liga that often. How good are Espanyol? What level would you put them at? A lower Premier League or a upper Championship?
Bournemouth, maybe? At a stretch? I think what we should explain to Barcelona is let's ask them a simple question. Why are you being kicked out of the Spanish League? To which they will answer, because we are no longer Spanish, we are Catalonians. So then we'll say, so why can't you be let in the English League? And they'll go, why? We'll say, because you were never English, you are Catalonians. You will play in the Catalonian League. Or you will not play at all. But piss off from here.
Welcome with open arms to the French League, probably.
That might make minus sense, because at least they would almost share a border then. That'd be a bit like the, I think it's the Liechtenstein team that plays in Switzerland.
Yeah,
make the most minor sense possible.
Let's go down this route. Can we just get rid of the Welsh as well, though?
We did that 900 years ago. They're just claiming on to things now.
So we could get rid of Swansea, Cardiff, and Newport, and bring
the
three players.
All I meant was the Welsh have been English for as long as they can remember. They're just not admitting it.
So throw them teams into Scotland, and we'll take these three La Liga teams into our system, our sort of pyramid.
Let's just have a Super League. Oh, hang on.
For those clubs with all the money, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, this is a great idea. How has no one else thought of this? Oh god, my crippling cancer suddenly stricken me down. Fucking Barcelona.
It is what it's. They're basically planning long term wise.
Oh, I just mean they should plan to get in a C.
What did you think of Barcelona playing behind closed doors rather than taking the 6 point hit on cancelling the game?
Well, in fairness to Barcelona on this, that they were happy to just take a loss. They said to the Spanish FA that they didn't want to play the game at all, and they were happy to just lose 3 points from the game, and they were basically ordered to go ahead with it.
I think the FA came around and said we'd probably do 6 points. I read that.
It was a Real Madrid dominated Spanish FA saying so, and to be fair to Barcelona, they were backed into a corner because they purposely rearranged their game for the day of the referendum to try and keep as many fans out of the election booths as possible. I mean, that was an utterly politically motivated decision. They did the best thing they could in that situation.
Yeah, and apparently La Palma's sponsors aren't happy because they embroidered a Spanish flag onto their kit. And they didn't want the club to get involved in any political stance.
So yeah, but as far as I'm concerned, politics and football should never, ever, ever intermingle. That's how we ended up with fucking FIFA. I think we can all agree that's a bad thing.
Well, we're going to have poppies on shirts again soon.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine, because everyone can wear them, even the Belgians. That's remembering War Day. When did that become political? We remember the Germans equally, and we were the ones who were killing them. Yeah, but then again, they'll turn around and tell us we can't wear them. But we can wear a peaceful rainbow flag of daffodils. All manner of other bollocks. Oh, I'm an old man.
Aren't you like 23?
I'm joking, my office is 23 going on 53. I can see what they're saying now.
I'm waiting for you to be compared to murder again.
Do you know what? All of this talk about the Barcelona's joining the Premier League. It's just like murderings. Don't know why I'm doing this accent either. They got blood on their hands, It's like murder. Oh my god.
Oh, should we finish there?
Yes.
So thanks for joining us tonight. Please follow us on Twitter at V2Football. Check out our website at v2football.com. So it's good night for me, good night for the lads. Thank you for listening.
Good night.